Life is filled with touches. The sweetness of a kiss from someone you love. The power of a story well told. The enlightenment of a good teacher. The clutch of a little baby's hand on their father's finger. The shadows cast by moonlight and the greeting of the rising sun. The sound of rain against a bedroom window and the sight of cloudless skies. The inspiration of a great song and the precision of a master craftsman. We are all touched by something. When I look back on my life, I can see that I have been filled with touches. Little things that Daddy did or said that will always be remembered. Little acts of kindness, sometimes little quiet deeds that maybe nobody might have noticed, but Daddy did them. That has planted seeds of gratitude within my heart forever. Daddy touched our lives in diverse ways with his love, never ending, his lovely laughter and his sense of humor, his kindness and his generosity knew no bounds. He was a teacher to hundreds of secondary school boys over many years in Dunlambert Boys School. He started there when the school opened at first, and Mum was so proud of him in that job. He taught those boys many things in assemblies, woodwork, metalwork, technical drawing, making go-karts, doing cycling proficiency, and being part of the Lord Mayor's show, passing on his practical skills in such a patient way, like a teacher would do, so that pupils could make the most out of wood and metal. Give Dad a piece of wood, and somehow he could transform it into something wonderful in front of our eyes. He could just visualize, just mold and sculpt it into whatever he wished. And we were so proud to see him do that. Dad had great practical ability and was so happy to stay at home on a Saturday working on woodwork jobs in his garage. Nothing made him happier. There was always the scent of freshly cut wood lingering in the air. He would often send Mum and me to the local DIY store, we knew it well, to get nails of numerous sizes and shapes that were beyond comprehension to us, but he knew them all, and planks of wood of every description and every type. Often Mum and myself, we came back with the wrong thing, and Dad had to send us out again. Dad was amazing on a sewing machine. There was nothing he couldn't do. When I was a child, I really wanted to be like the Bay City Rollers. So I asked Dad, could you make me a pair of trousers, a tartan pair of trousers? The next morning, a pair magically appeared. I loved those trousers so much. I wore them for years, which probably wasn't the best idea. Dad was so generous with everyone. Generous of his time, he would go the extra mile for people, and he wouldn't stop until he had done that to help them. Generous with his money, generous with his life, and generous with his house and his home with Mum. Mum and I needed AA shoes because we both had very narrow-fitting feet. These were so hard to find, and it was so hard for me as a young girl growing up not being able to get fashionable shoes. But Dad, always willing to solve a problem, he never believed that problems could not be solved. He would drive us all the way to McKillen's shop in Ballymena. But instead of buying Mum and I one pair each, he bought us five pairs each. I also remember when Mum was in hospital for a week, Dad was in charge of feeding us as children. Every day after school, he collected me and he would take me to the local deli store in Hollywood. And he let us stock up with as many cakes as we wanted. And instead of a few slices of cheese for tea, he decided to buy the whole block. I'm sure Mum must have wondered what was going on, but it was fun at the time. Once when Mum and Dad were staying with us for a month in England, Dad got up extra early to take Leslie to work every day. 20 miles there and 20 miles back. And again, collect Leslie in the evening. I was very impressed, as Dad wasn't really an early riser, but he went that extra mile or 20. When Leslie and I moved from our flat in England to a new house, which Dad had encouraged us to buy, and we always went with his advice because we knew it would be good, we needed to move our furniture. Dad, being Dad, got talking to a man with a van, and before we knew it, the man with the van had lent us his van without charge. We had one big problem, though, because our flat was on the first floor with too many stairs and there was no lifts. Ever the problem solver, before we knew it, Dad and Leslie were hoisting each piece of furniture over the balcony on ropes to the van waiting below, even in the soaking rain. Daddy loved animals. And there's a kindness in that. He loved all kinds of animals because he loved God's creation. And he used to show me the animals in the fields, and we talked about how God had made them. He often looked after my pets when I went on holiday, and in fact, it was only him who I really trusted to look after them. He could often be found building rabbit hutches in the garden with great designs, and he often stroked them, and I heard him saying to them, "You're beautiful," and he always sang "Beautiful Dreamer" to them all. He had a love for God's creatures. He even secretly made a beautifully decorated wooden box as a final resting place for a very ill rabbit of mine, just in case I would want it. But he didn't tell me. He told Leslie, and he hid it in the attic. And when my rabbit died, Leslie produced this and said, "This is a gift from your dad." When Daddy spent afternoons with Leslie in the garden cutting trees and doing general work around the house, they would often have a chance for spiritual chats. Many a happy hour was engaged in spiritual discussions and shared interests between Leslie and my dad. They discussed things in great depth, often about Moses and different characters in the Bible. And Dad often bought books for Leslie from the Christian bookshop in Newton Ards for him to read. And Leslie always thought, "How can your dad find such amazing books?" And Dad introduced Leslie to the Christian writers from past centuries, which Leslie now enjoys reading so much. One Christmas holiday, Mum and Dad were over enjoying their Christmas with us when I got a phone call from my headmaster. And he phoned me to say that my classroom had been completely flooded. And if that was not enough, the Ofsted inspection team, which is a dread of all teachers, were about to come in a couple of days' time. Dad came to the rescue, as usual. There was no question about that. We left Mum in the house, and Dad spent the entire Christmas holiday in my classroom, which was so hot. And we hung up every single child's piece of work and children's books that were completely drenched on makeshift washing lines to drip dry them out We laugh together, two teachers doing what teachers do. Every time Mum and Dad were flying home after visiting Leslie and me, Dad would say goodbye at the airport. He always knew it was a hard time for me. So he said goodbye with massive waves in the air, both hands and arms outstretched wide. And he would continue to do this so I could see him until he became a little speck in the distance. And as I was tearful, and Leslie was reassuring me, suddenly he would appear again. One final little wave, because he knew I was watching, and it always cheered me up. Only Daddy could have thought of that. Daddy was saved by God twice. You might ask why. First, when he was 17 years old, he received a leaflet through the letterbox advertising a Christian evangelical campaign. He was so surprised that it was due to start in an hour's time, and he thought, what's the point of that? Despite his reservations, he went along to the Elam Church, and he was wonderfully saved that evening. At this time, Dad was working at Short Brothers, building models with great precision, which was a perfect job for Dad, because everything he did was with precision and accuracy. These models of aircrafts were being tested in wind tunnels to ensure that they would fly once they were built full scale. His work colleagues teased him and they said, I will give you 5 weeks of this Christian phase before you tire of it. Daddy was so pleased to be still following the Lord after 50 plus years. There happened to be a work party in Glasgow and many work friends were going on a ship. Come along, Dennis. There's going to be lots of free drinks. However, Daddy, who was now a Christian, said, I won't be going. And that was hard to do. It turned out that had he gone, he probably would have died with the tragic sinking of the Princess Victoria on the 31st of January, 1953, along with some of his workmates who died. God saved Daddy's life that day for a second time. As a young Christian, Daddy used to go round giving his testimony at various churches along with his friend, Terry Heron. One time, as a young Christian, he ended up by chance at a meeting led by a Reverend Ian Paisley, and Daddy was slightly late. He didn't know what the man was going to preach on, but as Daddy arrived, the preacher, spotting a latecomer, said with a very booming voice, come up here, young man. There's a seat next to me. Poor Daddy was embarrassed, but with no way out, Dad sat on the pulpit with all eyes upon him. I've often wondered why Mum and Dad were always so early to Great Victoria Street, arriving with the cleaners. Dad was never late for anything in his life. One day, Cecil Gowdy wanted a new garage built, and a customer in the shop at Gowdy's recommended this young man, Dennis. It must have been a good job. Well done. For it greatly impressed Cecil's daughter, Mooring, my mum, and the rest is history. Mooring married Dennis on the 28th of July, 1958, and they were married for 60 years. It meant such a lot to Mummy to receive a congratulatory card from the Queen for her 60th wedding anniversary last July to Daddy. Unfortunately, Daddy did take dementia, Alzheimer's. And dementia is an extremely hard road to travel for the person who has it and for the family who witness it. And it's not a path anyone chooses. But Dad always said to me, don't worry about anything. You know, the only two things to worry about, Jean, are sickness and death. And even then, God will be our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble because Dad had a great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even during Daddy's illness, with his memory increasingly failing and with added confusion and sometimes understandable frustration, there were still treasured moments, little rays of Daddy as he was. And I will always treasure those little gems of clarity in the words that he spoke. He never lost his desire to look smart, whether it was in his pajamas or his shirt and tie. He continued to comb his hair to the end, and he loved, so loved to be loved. The loss of driving hurt him badly, but I made him my driving instructor instead and said he could sit in the driving instructor seat. I discovered a new talent of his of folding clothes. So we did well with a production line of folded towels and sheets done to absolute perfection from corner to corner. Mum and I spent many, many hours of many, many days sitting with him in his bedroom to give him company. When he could not go out, he looked longingly out of the window and could see people passing by and cars on the road and the birds flying high, and it made him happy. It must have been immensely hard for him not being able to do all the wonderful things he was so used to doing and capable of. But in it all, and through it all, he showed great strength of character, courage, and unbelievable patience to put up with what he had to fully endure. He would watch the birds soar up above the trees and point them out to me every day. He told me, "Jean, I'm going up there," and he pointed to heaven. He also pointed to the ceiling light when it was on, and he said, "I'm going to the light." I felt that God was preparing my daddy for his future home. Yet even when he told me this, and he could clearly see a tear or two in my eye, which I found hard to hide, he still managed to say to me, "Don't worry. We have God. Now you are free, Daddy. Free as the birds that you watch so carefully. Fly, Daddy, fly." And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And as we know, because Daddy was a Christian of great faith, he hasn't gone into the darkness. He's gone into the light of heaven with his precious Savior beside him.